Christ the Lord upon the tree. In the stead of ruined sinners hangs the Lamb in victory. See the cries of our redemption. See the Father's plan of hope, bringing many into glory with the measure of a
carols should help us focus on what Christmas is all about. But have we heard them so much that we don't listen to their message anymore? Do we really know what they mean?
Well, I hope all of you had a happy and joyful Thanksgiving with your family and friends. I certainly did. My family traveled up to Virginia to be with my mother and brother and sister and their families. We ate a lot of food, watched some football, all the usual things that you do on Thanksgiving Day. And then the next day, we did a little Christmas shopping and began decorating our home. You know, I think that's something most of us do on the day after Thanksgiving. Just curious, who else did some shopping and decorating over the weekend? Anybody? No? You avoided that? I see some nods. You know, we felt like in our home we needed to get a start on our decorating, which frankly can be a lot of fun, except when your decorated Christmas tree comes tumbling down out of the Christmas tree stand. That's a story for another day. But we love getting ready for Christmas in our house by putting up lights and tinsel and playing Christmas music. Now, it seems that Christmas music brings people so much joy. It's one of the things people can't get enough of this time of year. There was even, a radio station in Greensboro that started playing Christmas music on November 1st. Now, personally, I love these songs. And one of the great traditions that we have in the church is caroling. These songs warm our hearts, they bring joy to others, and they teach us important truths about Christ. And during Advent this year, as you saw in the video, we will explore some of the special carols that we have, and we'll study how they help us deepen our faith and our journey with Christ. But we begin Advent today with the carol, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. This is an old song. It's perhaps the oldest carol that we have. It was translated from Latin to English in 1861, but its origins go back much further than that. There's evidence that suggests that this song goes back all the way to the year 800. Now, this song was originally divided up into seven choruses, where one chorus would be sung each day during the final week leading up to Christmas Day. And then each chorus emphasized a different Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah. Now, taken as a whole, we see that this song is full of contrast. It speaks of a movement from oppression to freedom, from darkness to light, from turmoil to peace. This song is full of hope, and it reminds us why we need a Savior. Now, many of us don't need to be reminded of this. Despite all the fun and festivities, this time of year can leave us feeling empty, tired, sometimes sad, because of things that are going on in life or in our families that hamper the Christmas spirit, which then prevents us from having the picture-perfect Christmas. But honestly, I think Christmas never ends up being quite as perfect as we might imagine it should be. That certainly describes the experience of Mary and Joseph. This young couple was engaged to be married when Joseph learns that Mary is pregnant, and he knows he's not the father. By no stretch of the imagination, their first Christmas would not be picture perfect. If anything, it was going to be messy. It was going to be scandalous. People would talk about them. And yet, their story is the story of how God works in surprising ways in our world. And we see this clearly in the encounter that Joseph has with the angel of the Lord. Now, as you remember, Joseph was a carpenter. He was a blue-collar worker. He's not the kind of person you would expect to raise the Savior of our world. He was just an average Joe from an average town. And now he's engaged to a woman who's pregnant, but not by him. Well, the scripture tells us that Joseph was a righteous man, and he wanted to keep his reputation intact. So it seems that he wanted to call off his engagement. But that would have resulted in significant humiliation and shame for Mary. It could have even led to her death because she would have been suspected of committing adultery. So Joseph decided to quietly divorce Mary, hoping that that would shield her from trouble. But one night, while he was asleep, an angel of the Lord came to him in a dream and explained how Mary became pregnant and that he should take her as his wife. Now, what happened after that dream was truly astonishing. Joseph believed the angel, and he chose to not divorce Mary. Instead, he would marry her, and he would identify himself as the child's earthly father by naming him, just as the angel had instructed. The angel said, "You are to call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, the name Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. And the name Joshua literally means "he will save us." That name would be a constant reminder to Joseph of what God would do through this child. But at this point in the story, what's more significant is that Joseph was being called to a special responsibility. By naming the child, God was telling Joseph that he would be the earthly father of the Savior. Now, this had to be an intimidating, scary situation for him. But through that dream, Joseph was learning that God would be with him and that God would be with Mary as well. Matthew then tells us in verse 23 that God's actions would fulfill the expectations of Israel. He even quotes the prophet Isaiah saying, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. We need God with us, don't we? It's been true for people of every generation. Now, Isaiah reminded his people of God's presence and God's salvation when he spoke about a child to be born who would be called Emmanuel. At that time in history, the Israelites were being held as captives in Babylon. They felt isolated and alone. They wondered if God had abandoned them. Isaiah reminded them that God would send a Messiah to them who would save them, rescue them, and be present with them. Well, like the Israelites, we need God with us, especially right now. You know, the hustle and bustle of this season is anything but stress-free. It is a beautiful season, no doubt. It's full of joy and excitement, but it also pulls us in so many different directions. We can feel frazzled and worn out, and in some cases, depressed. This can be a very depressing season for someone, especially for people who have experienced a loss. So in the middle of all of this, it is good for us to remember Emmanuel, that God is indeed with us. As we prepare for Christmas, let's start by embracing the gift of Jesus as Emmanuel. We do have a great need to have God present in our lives, and the gift of Emmanuel means that God is with us in every time and place and situation. He's with us when friends abandon us. He's with us when we unexpectedly lose our job. He's with us when we're diagnosed with a terrible disease. He's with us in the headaches of everyday life. No matter what hard thing we may be going through, Jesus is present with us. Jesus is present with us, oftentimes in surprising and unexpected ways. And he comes to us as nothing less than the power and the presence of God in human form. Now, the gift of Jesus is the gift of a Savior. And this means that God is here to help us, save us, and transform us. Jesus is not simply standing by our side as a supportive friend. He does so much more than that. Jesus is our salvation. He's come to save us. And so when we're feeling overwhelmed, let's remember that Jesus helps. When we're overcome by sin, Jesus forgives. When we feel lost or defeated or powerless, Jesus saves. God is working through Jesus to transform us and to transform our world. And as the Apostle Paul once said, we are new creations in Christ because God is making all things new. I do think this is a message we need to hear during this time of year because we often pressure ourselves to have the perfect Christmas. But in pursuing that goal, we can wear ourselves out. And so we do need to be saved. We need to be saved from the hustle and bustle of this season. We need to be saved from ourselves. Now, I do think it's easy for us to get caught up in Christmas celebrations because there are so many great traditions that we want to practice. But I hope you'll keep in mind that a lot of this stuff is just cultural, and it changes over time. The Christmas holiday that we have is gone through numerous changes over the years, and some of these changes have happened even in our own lifetimes. Now, schools used to host annual Christmas plays, and nativity scenes used to be placed in front of courthouses. For the most part, schools no longer host Christmas plays, and nativity scenes aren't found in public spaces very much. Even stores have made changes. You know, clerks are often instructed to greet customers by saying Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. These changes have bothered a lot of people, but I think there might be a silver lining to all of it. See, the Christmas that our culture celebrates is often one that's empty of meaning. It's just a festivity that's focused on fun instead of remembering what God has done, that God has come to us as a baby born in a manger. You know, it's not the job of schools or courthouses or stores to tell the story of Christmas. And when they do try to tell that story, they often focus on the wrong things. The job of telling the story of Christmas belongs to us. It's our responsibility as followers of Jesus to talk about how God intervenes into the world in the most incredible way possible. It's our job to talk about how Emmanuel has come to us in the most scandalous way possible. It's our job to talk about the Messiah and to share how God has saved us and transformed us. You know, Joseph was a changed man after he encountered the angel of the Lord in his dream. Now, the Greek word for angel is angelos. It literally means messenger. Now, I once heard a person describe a messenger as someone who shines light into darkness. Well, this is what the angel did for Joseph. He was in a troubling situation. He was in need of a savior. He needed the presence of God in his life. I don't think we're any different. We are all in need of a savior. Of course, we may need to be saved from different things. Some of us need to be saved from ourselves. Some of us need to be saved from trying to keep up with the hustle and bustle of this season. Some of us need to be saved from a particular sin. Now, the situations are going to be different for each of us, and yet we all need God to save us. We all need God to be present with us. As you begin Advent today, I encourage you to prepare your heart for Christmas by seeking God's presence. Make this your first and your top priority, and use the words of today's carol as a prayer. O come, Emmanuel, come into my life today and fill me with your peace. O come, Emmanuel. Friends, God is with us. God is with us in any and all circumstances. And for this, we should rejoice. Would you bow your heads and join me in prayer? Gracious God, we give you thanks that you are indeed present with us. But we confess that it is easy for us to fill our lives with so much activity that we fail to see your presence. Now, there are times when life just overwhelms us. And yet, in times like this, we do know we need a Savior. And so we pray today that we will not only turn to you in our time of need, but that we will always make room in our lives for you. We lift this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In just a moment, we will sing our hymn of response. It is the carol that I've been talking about, O come, Emmanuel. As we sing this, I'd like you to reflect on two questions. What are you hearing from God today? And how are you going to respond? So let's now stand together and sing our hymn. I'll be at the front to receive any who would like to come forward for prayer or to share a decision that you're making for God. But let's stand now and sing together.